Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Throwing the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
And here we are talking about movies, love it or hate it, we debate it. Today we're debating...
The fifth. Say it together.
The fifth.
How do you...
Le cinquième élément.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. Sorry.
Only other language I even know a number.
Cinco de Mayo, am I right?
Cinco de Elemento?
The fifth element. We're talking about the fifth element.
Can everyone just picture Frank on a trip to anywhere that they speak Spanish? Try to order something at a pharmacy.
Gracias.
Even if I have a restaurant where it's like, and it's got the English translation, yeah, I'll still mess it up. Okay, The Fifth Element.
1997.
Yes, it is. Rated PG. Directed by Luc Besson. Mm. Right, that's French.
Yeah.
That's
PG.
It's a French movie.
PG?
Sort of. I'm also looking at the stars. We've got Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, and Mila Jovovich. Who?
I always called her Djokovic for years, and it wasn't until I looked at her name properly. I was like, there's more V's in there than I remember. Mm. Jovovich.
I still can't get it right. And Gary Oldman.
Mm. That's true.
Do you want a quick synopsis?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to regret this, but do you want to ask me why we rate them out of 11?
Oh, yes, I do want to ask you that. It's been a while.
It's the worst one.
No, it's not. There's no chance it's worse.
We promise you it's not going to be the worst one.
It's the typical age gap between Luc Besson and his romantic partners.
Oh, it's a good one.
But here's the thing. That's bad. I'm kidding.
Mm?
It's
not,
normally
though.
Much more.
Yeah. Oh.
Because, and I'm sorry I can't stop myself from saying this because I just need it on record how much Luc Besson fucking sucks, is an awful person.
Yeah.
He married the woman who plays the operatic
diva.
Alien,
yep.
Maya,
the blue diva,
when she was 16.
No!
He started dating when she was 15.
No!
And she was pregnant with his child by the time they got married. He was 32.
Yeah.
And then he left her for Mila Jovovich on this movie.
That bit I knew, and I was like, that's
during,
bad. I don't know.
During her scenes, in fact.
Just
it was
runs
all
on
happening,
the set.
Literally, just decided in real time.
It's insane. He also apparently based Leon the Professional, which of course is... I'm blanking, Jean Reno
and Natalie Portman
when she's like 14 on his relationship with Maiwen. So
So he's also a serial killer?
He's
a paid assassin, I should say.
I think we could just stick with French rapers.
Like
he gets it done.
Ooh.
Or like he is
it's hurtful to hear.
Despicable person who somehow has a foothold in popular culture. Like people say Luc Besson and people do go, oh yeah, I know that guy. Like
I didn't know any of this about
it. It sounds like a Butler's Pantry very prematurely.
It does a little bit, but Butler's Pantries are more fun than this. This is kind of like
this is not a fun 11.
We'll get this out of the way.
Fuckless.
And then we'll never talk about that again.
Awful.
All right, well, who likes his work? Who likes this film?
So who's here to support him?
Okay, I love this film. Marcus!
Oh yeah, shout your name if you like this film, Marcus.
We can't decide.
Frank.
Ooh.
Just.
Wasn't sure.
And I still am not.
But I was anticipating this third one.
Did not like it.
Although
I didn't hate it. I just didn't really like it.
Yeah, okay. Give me some numbers.
I can go if you want lowest.
Yes, please.
As
is tradition.
Sit with 5.
Ooh.
Okay.
So like.
This could be interesting.
I'm willing to be a little bit led. Pal is ready to be thrown.
Yep.
Ah, oh.
Frank, you go next.
He's
got sounds today.
Speaking of sounds, I'm a 5.6, just on the line. That's a fun one. All right, Marcus, you love it. You shouted your name.
I love it, but I'm a 7.6.
Ah. Mm. Oh, okay, so we're all like in the middle.
We need to talk about love. Like how that translates to numbers.
I love my wife.
It's a broad
7 out of 11. Yes. Decent 7. 8 on a good day. Like,
but also American Beauty is a 10.
I get that you maybe love aspects of this film, but clearly it doesn't cohere to you into a actual, not even a masterpiece, just a great film.
I think this is a really fun movie, and I think that if you're able to put the blinders on in certain areas, I think you can really just... take this as a fun, campy sci-fi adventure.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I totally agree with that. I feel like it doesn't know what it is or the audience doesn't figure it out. It's a comedy, right? Like it's a comedy, right?
I would argue, having being a love on this, the comedy's its weakest point. I'd say the comedy's not great.
Is there a single character you could point to that you would say would be representative of that?
So here's the thing. I know you're about to say Chris Tucker, right?
Yeah.
You didn't like Chris Tucker? Obviously, Chris Tucker's the saving grace.
Rudy Rod?
Rudy Road.
Ruby Rod.
Ruby Road.
Road?
Rod.
Fuck. I didn't pay much attention, obviously.
That's okay. It's
Rudy.
Ruby.
Ruby.
The colour.
Chris Tucker.
He does two funny things in this movie for me. The rest of the time I find him terrible. Sorry. Go on, Frank. I apologise.
Well, you know he's doing a Prince impression because it was written for Prince. Mm. It was meant to be Prince.
Yeah.
I just
did he meet Prince ever? Like, is this really what he thought? I've seen Prince.
That's an accurate.
I've watched interviews with Prince. That is not Prince.
No, but also
he's too tall. Obviously,
for the role that they're going for here, I don't think Prince was right for this either.
Absolutely not. Prince is too kooky.
It's too interesting. But
is Chris Tucker right for it?
Too serious. Because I'd say
I don't know who's right for it. Because Gary Oldman's in a totally different film. Bruce Willis is a surfboard.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich is learning to act. As she goes.
Ooh,
I think she's all right.
Hard disagree.
I also think she's kind of one of the most successful things about the film, which is remarkable because to start with I was like, fuck this. And then pretty early on I was like, she's pretty charming.
The first emotional resonant moment that I had was when she gets built by the 3D printer and then she freaks out in the little tube.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's scared. I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, it's a drama. It's a sci-fi drama. And then I was like, no, listen to Gary Oldman's accent. This can't be serious.
And tell me I'm wrong, but she's model turned actress, right? Is kind of how she's.
I believe so.
Yeah, but also, isn't she just this? Was she got discovered, right?
She auditioned. I'm pretty sure she was in Chaplin before this, so she's like had a career. Yeah, she.
Okay.
She's played roles or she's been in things before this, but I do think this was her breakout. She was only 19.
I think because of the support of the director and. The way she is, I think that she was given a bit of free rein to really play with the role and sort of make it her own. So she was exploring the physicality of it a lot, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. And I think there weren't really any rules, really. She did put a lot of effort into learning this made-up language that they've gone into, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you will about it, but there's a real authenticity to a made-up language that seems believable to me.
Yeah.
She's got a real theatre kid energy. When she's babbling in the made-up language.
Yeah,
where you're like, just want to show you I did this. I learnt it all and aren't you proud I can do it fluently? Yeah. And I'm like, very well done, great, you know.
It does feel like
an
exercise.
Do you not find that endearing though? I find it.
That's my thing. I kind of like, we saw her get forged in the little machine. This movie, by the way, we skipped the plot synopsis for a fucking reason. This movie
Before we deal, let's cycle back for a sec. I think the synopsis is important for the listener. Frank. When you're ready.
The colourful future. A cab driver unwittingly becomes the central figure in the search for a legendary cosmic weapon to keep evil and Mr. Zorg at bay.
The story is nonsensical.
Yes.
It's kind of just whatever.
It's inspired by a French sci-fi comic.
If they were going to do like is this going to get nominated for a screenplay award, which obviously I'm sure it was in contention, it would have gone to an original screenplay instead of adapted.
Yes.
And then there would have been a whole thing.
Yeah.
No one reacting to my obviously it was in contention. No.
I thought it won, didn't it? I thought it won.
Screenplay's very bad.
Very good.
But it's.
I was waiting for it.
It works despite that, I think. Mm. I think it works despite the
weight. Wait, what works? The script?
I think the film. Well, I'm saying it works and that I didn't like it. I think the things about it that work are the outrageousness that go far enough beyond some pretty like basic and derivative shit on the page.
Yeah.
Like it feels very kind of uninspired. In a lot of ways, but then you get some shots of the city that I think look kind of cool. You get the pirate ship, the steampunk thing, delivering food to Bruce Willis on his balcony. Is this the greatest film ever made? Like, that's an insane moment.
Insane moment, and so creative, and just like a nice touch of reality of what this world that we're living in is.
It kind of feels a very like budget Blade Runner in that respect.
He wanted to be more. French, for lack of a better word. Everything about it, it's like they showed him a serious sci-fi film and he was like, no, how you say his tank top, it should be fluoro orange.
And it's backless.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks good. This is nice.
And then that being said, you open the film with this Egyptian setting, very much like The Exorcist. Right?
I'd forgotten that happened.
And also like...
Luke Perry looking like a snack.
Luke Perry literally
what's that?
Cast.
Stargate.
I did get Stargate vibes the second. I was like, oh, is that what's going
to
happen
Luke
here?
Perry was cast purely to get bums on seats because they're like, well, girls will watch this and that's it. You never see him again.
Yeah, he was useless.
He is more handsome in this than almost any person I've ever seen on screen. Like, for a guy I don't think about that much.
Those
first shots of him just looking at his book and he's just, like, making notches.
Gary Oldman's in the same movie.
Yeah, Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
So just
certainly this. Gary Oldman's character looks like he's just gone through a windshield of a car crash on the way to the Met Gala. And he's like, I'm just going to pretend it's part of it. And he's just like kept it there.
That is so accurate. Going.
That
hyper-specific, but like perfect.
That said, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun in this as well.
Well, but so hit and miss.
Yeah.
The accent's so inconsistent. And like I said before, they're all acting in different movies and I don't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, like the whole time I was just, the only note I made was what's happening now? How am I supposed to feel now? Am I laughing? Is this serious? Is it, where are the stakes? No idea. The story is boring.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a save the girl plot, right? What's the thing where it's like get the thing to the goal before the timeline?
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like
ticking time bomb.
Yeah,
story.
It's the race the clock to save the planet.
Yeah,
trope.
Yeah, right. And I just didn't care for any of it. And then I expected her to do a lot more because she's this sacred perfect being, right?
Well, she's the perfect weapon. Yeah,
yeah, and she does one crappy fight scene, and that's it. And you're like.
Is there a song playing, though, that elevates that to the realm of cinematic mastery?
This is so funny. You guys are so cynical about this already.
No, I'm not kidding. When this song first started, I was like,
is this it?
Like, what are we doing here?
Here we go.
And then, it sounds like a Prince song.
It does sound like a Prince song.
And once she really starts doing the, like...
Yeah. Choreo fighting. Oh, they're breakdance fighting.
It's such a Eurovision song.
100%. Oh, yeah.
It's a real Eurovision moment, and I couldn't be mad once that was happening. Once she started dancing and singing and...
With her foam costume,
yeah.
As soon as she leaned back, the curl on her blue head was, like, smooshing into the back. I was like, that's a terrible costume.
It looks very uncomfortable.
But it's also an impossible melody. It can't be sung by a human. Did you know?
I don't understand. How did they get it then?
They just recorded all these notes that we hear right now.
They recorded a French woman doing it, which doesn't technically count.
Yeah, Tom, that's exactly what they did. French people are masters.
French are really copying.
That's just what he was getting at.
At least let me try and finish the story of trivia.
Go on.
Well, she had to record all these notes separately and the editor had to splice them together.
Okay. Well, yeah, see? I could see how that
it's impossible.
Would. That was the perfect point to cut that too. Nice.
It's the longest.
Yeah, good. Now. Yeah.
We just let that song play.
Oh, my gosh.
Do we have legal representation for this?
I'll cut it out so it's under 30 seconds.
Who's going to sue us from the makers of this film?
I don't know.
Yeah, so
Google won't let us pay for ads. I think everyone's against us.
That's another story for another day.
Oh, my God. So.
Sorry.
Marcus, why do you love it?
Why do I love it? It's campy. It's fun. It's got action. It's got sci-fi. It's got a little subplot of romance in there, which is super undercooked.
Mm.
But whatever. I kind of in a weird way buy it. Do you know... I love the moment between him and her. This is Bruce Willis's superpower. He's fine as an actor. He's a great action star. But when it comes to being Mr. Charismatic and just being that little bit sexy, he's so good at that.
Yeah.
He's really,
he's
really
got
charming.
Something.
So when she falls through the roof of this cab on her escape from this pod where she's being created, right?
Yeah.
We're jumping forward here, but whatever.
That's actually the star.
I should say her name's Lilu.
Lilu. Lilu is on the run. Our two protagonists meet through collision and she asks for help. The only way she can work out in real time is to learn how to say, please help.
Yeah.
But the cuteness between these two and the interaction in this cab is so perfect. I love it every single time I watch it. I get a little bit giddy every time I watch them sort of be cutesy.
They do have good chemistry.
And it works for me. And then you want more of that throughout the film and then you don't really get it again.
What you're making me realize is that the emotionality of it is so raw and so simple. It's almost like a kid's movie. Like it's like when you have two talking...
Are you being facetious right
no,
now?
I like- no,
this is no, serious. No, no. This is a serious voice.
Mila Jovovich's performance in that scene where she goes, please, help. And I'm like, I was like, oh, what are we doing here? And then when she said it the last it's time like and she's crying, I was like, God damn it, this is actually how kind did she of do effective.
That? Yeah. It's like Wally.
It's Lilo and Stitch. It's like Eva. A helpless animated character running into someone else. And you're meant to go like, my little tiny child heart grew 3 sizes that day because it feels so...
Why do you have a little tiny child heart?
I just, sometimes it swells in the summer heat. But Tom, but I've got to like, do you guys want to see it?
Yeah, it's on the outside.
Tom, you have a huge appreciation for anime, right?
I don't know if that's... I wouldn't say huge.
Well, okay, but you can.
I like Ghibli.
My point Ghibli. Is, can you not view this in sort of almost an anime style?
I see what you mean. A very, very like... over the top and emotionally just like almost
it's all or nothing attack. Yeah.
Yes.
It's all on the surface for you to see. There's nothing understated.
I mean, look, Chris Tucker is basically playing an anime character in this. That's a good way of thinking of it. I don't think it works at all, but know what you mean.
I'm so taken aback by that. I think Chris Tucker is fantastic in this.
Mm. He's so divisive. I never saw anyone online.
But this whole film is divisive.
Yes. It is weirdly one of the most divisive films
we're all
of the last
sort of in the middle.
30 years. That's what my thing where I was just kind of like, and I don't hate it. I think it's whatever.
So
people hate this movie.
I've said this before, but this is Flick's favorite film of all time.
Yeah.
Even watching this with her again, she spends what I've noticed actively, like 70-80% of the film saying how stupid certain moments are. Like she's like, that's so silly, or that would not work, or what's going on here?
But is she smiling while she's saying
literally.
It?
Literally.
Yeah.
And we're enjoying the whole thing. Every single time we watch it, we get enjoyment out of it. We get a real kick out of it. It is stupid. A lot of it is very silly.
Not a lot of it makes sense. And so silly, the one that jumps to mind for me is the Gary Oldman choking scene. This is early on. He's threatening somebody, right?
Ian Holm.
He's threatening Ian Holm,
Vito,
who's fantastic.
Cornelius or something?
Yeah, the priest. Cornelius. And
chicken. When she says chicken, I was like, masterpiece, 11 out of 11. I love her getting the chicken out of the microwave. Sorry.
So hilarious because it pops up. He threatens, he's terrifying to begin with. And you're like, wow, this is a very foreboding energy.
We'll go with it. Roll with it.
And then he eats a cherry and he puts a cherry in his glass, drinks the water, chokes on the cherry. And then it turns into a slapstick, literally a clown at a circus scene. Things are popping up. Cuckoo, cuckoo. There's stuff flying everywhere and Ian Holm is just staring at him.
Tom, I tell you what the equivalent of this scene to me is in the weirdest way possible, and please stay with me. In Game of Thrones. We've lost Frank. Frank, go for a walk. There's a really well-known scene with Cersei. Cersei, did I get that right? It's been a while.
Cersei,
thank you. She does the whole bit about power.
We've literally referenced this on the pod before. Tell you it's season 2, episode 1. we've literally done this.
That's really
before
funny.
Where she goes to
power
little,
is power.
Littlefinger is threatening her and she's got the red guard with her and she's like, seize him, cut his throat.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I changed my mind. Then she makes them do like the twirly, the fucking, the hooly dooly.
What is this?
You put your left
the Macarena.
Foot in. No.
Hokey pokey.
Holy shit. But I started doing the Macarena? I'm tapping out. Go on. You say.
Anyway, power is power. She does this. It's very much led by an example in the scene of how power is power. And that's the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I think this was very much a device for, and it's a silly way of doing it. And I'm not even sure why Ian Holm then drives forward the point of, you know, you can't rely on all these things. Like where are the people to help you now? Do you know?
Where's a robot to pat you on the back? And
that's it,
stop
all that
choking.
Sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was very much it's sort of the anti sort of conversation.
But that's not
that.
Even a theme of the film of like technology.
No, it's
staying,
a weird moment.
It's
I'm
just
not,
like the stupidest
I'm
thing I've ever seen.
I'm justifying a very weird scene and very out of place.
Yeah.
I want to come back to you and ask what you think the theme of the film is in a little bit, Frank. I'm very curious to hear you tell
not
me.
Not right now.
Okay, good.
Because we can't move past this scene because it's emblematic of the film for me in microcosm. Which is, it's a scene where I'm like, this is stupid. It's not even that entertaining on a camp level.
Yep.
I'm kind of drifting. Is that a fucking baby elephant? And then I'm just in. The second I see that, I'm like, I love this. And it's just for a little second I get a glint of,
but
I'm so glad they do
but
shit
this,
like that.
So there's not enough of that because then you don't know what it is because then that scene finishes and it goes back to melodrama or whatever it may be.
I agree.
And you don't know where you are. You can't get a foothold of like tone.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's impossible to
just
read.
Just a little paddle pop rainbow coloured. And then isn't there another scene where it's sitting on his shoulder or something? I'm pretty sure.
There's little Jim Henson puppet creatures everywhere. Like there's little animatronic things.
It's crazy.
They do the airport going to the Flotsam whatever, which paradise. There's creatures in the background. Like there's things happening all the time.
It's very
thing.
Busy.
And it's never explained.
The design... You mentioned at the start, the design is great. The world building they've done, the special effects, the creatures. I think the design of the robot creature at the start, the big ones that come through and land in Egypt, I was like, they're dumb, but
yeah,
I love them.
Yeah, that's basically like, me as well. I kind of, because the door starts closing and he's like, you still have time. He's just like waddling. I'll never make it.
Gets his little key. Yes. It's that scene in Austin Powers with the steamroller.
Yes.
Yeah.
No! But also, why didn't that robot come back in the last scene when they go back to that space in Egypt and do the
well, they just four up and vanished. Fire. They just vanished.
They vanished. But why? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
He comes out and he goes, I'll help you with my key.
Beep, bop, bop, bop.
I don't
That's think what he said, right?
A lot of this film was made with...
any thinking.
Well,
any forethought.
With long-standing continuity in mind, where it was if we introduce this has to come back. And, you know, we've also got to make sure that this, you know, for the characters... Here's my main criticism. Be great if your primary protagonist and your antagonist met each other or had a fucking scene together.
And everyone thinks that's so...
And wait, even better, there's two protagonists. Antagonists, my apologies.
Besides Gary Oldman?
The big bad, the thing that's going to destroy the planet. It has an actual...
Oh, yeah, the big floating star.
But it doesn't actually have a physical presence. Isn't it just like some sort of gargantuan...
But it speaks through phone calls. At some point.
Oh, that's right.
It's a real
thing. That's what that is. Because then
it communicates, it warns them. You know,
there's not a lot of context to it.
No.
You know what I just said about them not keeping the continuity? I bet they forgot that scene happened. I bet they got to the end of the movie and they wrapped and they're like, didn't Gary Oldman talk to the fucking dark presence at some point? Like, I forgot that happened.
There's a really funny one because they say when the first event happens in Egypt and they say we come back every, what is it, 300 years? It says 300 years later, and it is not 300
years
later.
It's 349 years later or something.
Something silly like that. It's like, way off. Why? I didn't even think, 300 years later, whatever, it's now 20 whatever. We'll just pick a year.
Literally, they just haven't... I'm sure they thought about it, but there's so much they missed or didn't care about. Or that just, again, wasn't important to Luc Besson. He was busy doing what he does.
Numbers. So.
Cinquième.
I did learn what 15th or 5th was for this.
Wow, why would you do 15th? The 15th element? You fucking idiot.
Okay, appreciate that. Hey, you were about to say earlier that people online love the fact that Gary Oldman and Bruce Willis don't meet?
Yeah.
Dumbest take ever.
Oh, I know.
People are like, it's not like any other sci-fi movie because it's bad. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Good job. You missed out an element that's key. You needed 6 elements. There should have been the 6th, which was them meeting and having a showdown.
There's no lack of tension. I think at the end, it's so slow and drawn out, and them trying to figure out. Like, of course they're going to figure out how the stones work, and I got no fire.
Did you finish
Chris
it
Tucker?
Beforehand?
That wasn't bad. That wasn't terrible.
Did I finish what?
Did you figure it out before they started like working out how they had to get the things to work?
No,
the elements.
I don't think about this.
My favorite thing is. Well, she goes, what? A wind blows. And Bruce Willis is like, yep, I know this. And she's going through the elements. But then she gets to Earth and passes out because what would she have said?
Earth. Dirty.
Dirt. Earth. Yucky. Like, what would she have said? Water. Water's wet.
It's or rains,
water, rainfalls.
Rainfalls. Yeah. Wind blows.
Fire burns. What the fuck? Earth shakes, I guess.
Sprinkle. Dust.
Earth, you get in your fingers.
But also, she's the fifth element.
She's turning to Bjork in my impression of her.
I like the little
ones. My name is
And then the fifth element being her is kind of unclear. I think it's love.
A friend
I think
of mine,
it's humanity.
A friend of mine told me that.
If we go back to what I think the theme of the film is, dumb. Dumbness.
So you're a 4 point?
5.6. I liked it. At the end of the day, I liked it. Because Chris Tucker's funny.
That's so crazy. Like, this movie is at least grace. Maybe a point, maybe 1.5 more for me if Chris Tucker's not in it. I found
so you, what are you gonna, where's any sort of levity in life? Because like I said at the start, it's a comedy, right?
But it would be a shorter movie without him in it. And it's a long movie. Like, this movie goes way too long. I got to the it's surprising to me, not that all films need to follow like the monomyth.
2 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, there's the Dan Harmon story circle or whatever. And not all movies need to follow this, but this movie clearly is like generally playing with that. It's like a hero's journey.
Yeah.
It's an hour before he accepts the call to adventure, which is, I'll take the tickets and I'll go to that. Like before that,
you've read this storytelling filmmaking book.
Thank you. He like hands off Leeloo to Ian Holm and that's it. That's the only thing Bruce Willis has done in the first hour of the film, except almost get mugged by that guy at his door, which again is really funny because he's wearing a hat that makes it look like he's I can't get my gun to work. And then when he gets the gun,
does the dance.
What's wrong with that guy?
he's a tweaker, man. I've never seen a tweaker look that bad. I don't understand. You live in Windsor.
For those who don't know, Windsor's a really classy suburb.
That's what I'm saying. You haven't seen a tweaker before.
It's a bit.
Yeah, true. Go with the program.
It's full of young families.
So, Tom, you're getting... See, we enjoyed Ruby. I feel like if the comedy is anywhere in this film, then it kind of lands. I think it's at least him trying to bring some like energy
at
to
least
the comedy,
he's trying. Right? Thank God for him.
And I think there's some good bits, and there's a lot of sexual innuendos and whatever, and
the
sort
the
of like
bit where the montage of him having sex with the flight attendant, and them taking off,
him just and gloriously going down on her. I mean, that's it.
Like, gloriously,
it's a generous man. Like,
I thought he was using his hair tuft.
Sure.
Maybe a
lot of hairspray in there. It's quite firm,
right?
It would get in the way. It's like this microphone. You're like,
Ruby to you was more like the Jar Jar Binks of this.
I like Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, that's an insight. I think Jar Jar Binks is great.
You're the problem.
No,
Jar Jar Binks is elected a senator. The man has dignity. And
everyone knows he's secretly a Sith Lord. So you're bad.
Tom, did you laugh when he did that 20-second continuous scream as the bomb's going off?
No, but I told you, we spent like a few days together last week and we talked about this movie briefly. Yeah, it was amazing. It was wonderful times.
Didn't sleep.
Yeah. And
thanks for the invite.
We watched The Evil Dead, actually.
Yeah, we did.
Which was great. Was great. That's why you weren't there. Well, we didn't invite you, but also we had a movie also on you would have been. Anyway, you said, I'm curious as to what you're going to say, Tom, about Fifth Element. And I said, yeah, I'm a little worried about Chris Tucker. I just don't want it to be the camera on his face as he screams nonstop. And you went, oh. I was like, right, well, now I'm worried. And he does that for so much of the film. I like when he's holding the gun to the Blorg and Schmorgan thing and he gets surprised and he pulls the trigger and he's like, What's his name? Herbert Dallas? What's Bruce Willis' character's name?
Oh, Corbin.
Corbin Dallas.
Yeah.
Corbin, you think he's going to be okay? Like after he's just shot the dude in the back of the head. I laughed at that.
Two seconds before when he's like, I got a headache. I feel sick. I'm not made for this. It's like, I don't know. I find him really, because he's such a charismatic presenter and then he has that moment of weakness. It's funny. It's good to see.
I don't enjoy him in this. You know, if I'm going to answer the question.
Who do you enjoy in this?
I was just about to say, the deaf child star.
Oh, come on.
That guy has three moments.
I feel like they ripped him out of Zoolander.
And one of them is Corbin just being like, throw me the gun. And he goes, and throws him two pool balls and then gives him a massive thumbs up. Funniest thing that happened in the film.
That is
I
a good
lost
bit.
My shit laughing. I was like, God, that's funny. Because
really?
They just stretch it out for so
well,
long. You're like,
it is
he's got to throw him the gun eventually. But
going back to my theme of dumb, why didn't Bruce Willis just go gun? Just do a gun single.
Because that would have ruined the joke.
But he's so dumb.
They don't have that in France.
Dude, I've seen The Revolution.
No offense to anyone, but he's a cab driver in the future.
He's not a cab driver.
He's not educated.
He's ex-army or whatever they call it over there.
He's the only one of his platoon still alive.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's educated. Anyone can join the army reserves.
Wow. You're really talking about our education system and the way they recruit from low socioeconomic schools. That's rough, man. Come on.
Whoa, man.
They do. That's why Tom went to the army, dumbass.
Can't imagine Tom in the army.
Do one push-up. Do one push-up right now.
Now we're just getting mean.
Getting?
Yeah. It's unnecessary.
I told you to. Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
Nice bit.
What's next?
Okay. No,
are we done?
No, come on.
I have things to say. We could get in the Butler's Pantry.
Do you know who is good? We're not ready for Butler's Pantry.
All right, cool.
I want to talk about Ian Holm. Ian Holm is fantastic.
He is fantastic. Thank you. I think he's fantastic in any film he jumps into.
The two films he's been in, he's great. This,
wow,
Lord of the Rings.
You are
what else? I can't picture him in anything.
Frank's never seen Alien, obviously.
I haven't. Scary.
Ian does, he commits to roles really well. And I imagine him to be the type of guy who would probably read this script if there even was one.
And there was. That's what Bruce Willis joined because of the script.
Ah, see, but Bruce also did Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, dumb. See? It's ringing true.
Bruce Willis can't read French, guys. I'm telling you, he was too embarrassed to say, I don't want to look like an idiot. I'll just say I'll do it.
I feel like Ian probably wasn't loving this, but he's just like, whatever, I'm in it, I committed to it, and I'm going to give my all to this particular character.
And I think he's a bit of a sci-fi fantasy guy.
He's a genre dude. Yeah, he was in,
he's a genre dude.
Chariots of Fire, right? But apart from that, I think he's mostly like The Day After Tomorrow and Lord of the Rings and Alien and this. Like, yeah, he's a guy we recognize as part of that.
But he's so sincere, hey.
And then Garden State, which we were talking about the other day. Randomly.
He's Zach Braff's dad. Way too old.
Not great casting, but he's pretty good in it.
But like we just said, he's good in everything.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a committed person.
Yeah.
And he's so warm. You're always on his side. Mm. I think whatever he's doing, like even when I believe you and I want you to do well.
Even when he's flip-flopping around like and hitting someone in the back of the head and being like villain-esque at times, it's kind of cute and funny. And
yeah, because he's so unsure and he's so little and weak.
Yeah, and he doesn't mean it. Like he's like almost apologetic about, he's like.
It doesn't feel like he's the me of the pod. Is this what we're getting at?
Little and weak, do you get it?
No, it's a bit of a thinker.
Dumb. Oh, man.
Ian Hole is pretty good in this. I think the scene where he's kind of getting drunk, where they're at the station.
Yeah, it's
the
fun.
Scene at the station is an example of something that I wish...
Should have been shorter?
It should have been funnier. I wish I could have been on board with someone keeps coming up and saying they're Corbin Dallas and everyone's here at the station. All these people have gathered together. And I was just like, can we move this along? Like this.
It was so drawn out.
Yes.
There was no idea we're going to have three of them doing this because... The third one just happened, and I was like, who is this guy again? Why is he pretending to be Corbin Dallas? It didn't work. He had 3 seconds with the flight attendant. She was like, no, you're not Corbin Dallas. Bye. Mm. And that was it.
Mm. It feels like the editors maybe just quit halfway through the project and Besson just took over.
That actually could be the case.
It kind of has that feeling about it.
I feel like Mila Jovovich took over in character as Leeloo in this film.
Yeah.
She's a perfect being.
Yes. I mean,
she's not though.
Tom, you...
The clothing design, you talked about the art design. Yeah. Jean-Paul Gaultier did all the costumes and while some of them, you know, I've read
them
for
film
already.
I love his song, Somebody That I Used to Know.
Tom,
I wish Frank was somebody that I used to know.
My favourite part of any episode is when Tom turns his body physically away from Frank and that's it. You're closed off now for the remainder of time.
I'll get it back.
Got to work for
that
it.
That was funny.
Marcus, I'm sorry. You were saying something.
So Jean-Paul Gaultier did the costume design?
He did.
Oh, yeah. Bonsoir.
The art direction, the costume design, the CGI, by the way, is ahead of its time. I think that it's one of the few that still holds up today. It's not Jurassic Park. Nothing ever will be. But I think it's almost strangely on par with The Mummy in a way. I think that the CGI aspects of this film mixed with animatronics and puppetry.
Because the practical
really
effects are good. Yeah.
Practical effects and visual special effects are all... pretty great.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the aesthetic of the film. Like those big pig-looking dudes. What are they called? Corblins?
Yeah.
What's his name is Zorg, isn't he? Or Zorg? Gary Oldman's Zorg. Or is he Zorg. Korg?
No, he's Zorg.
He's Zorg.
Zorg. Yeah, but he's got like a long... He is like Jean-Baptiste something Zorg. Go on. What's his accent? Give us a...
Cajun.
Can you...
It could
be. I'm not doing it. Yeah. It feels like it's...
Is it actually Cajun? Because it...
I thought he was doing like Tennessee.
I thought Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
To start with.
To me, it's always been Tennessee.
But Gary Oldman has this
Southern-esque.
Gary Oldman's only weakness is when he's doing an accent, sometimes it'll slip. You hear it even as Commissioner Gordon. It's like there's a line or two where you go,
English.
Another weakness is a massive dickhead. But yes, you're right. There is
don't.
Well.
All right. Well, let's not tell.
I think Gary Oldman's a great actor. He's definitely one of those people where I'm like, maybe one of my favorite actors who I couldn't stand. Yeah.
He's one of many.
What's he done?
Do we have to do this?
I don't think we have to get into it.
I don't think we have to do it.
Read his Playboy interview from 2014. It's atrocious.
He said some very, very controversially bad things in support of someone else who's controversially bad.
He's a big Trump fan.
Just, it just sort of, he just railroaded his own career in the weirdest way.
They railroaded me.
But they railroaded him. But he then still came back and did Mank a few years ago. And I don't know if you guys, Mank's good. And it's probably one of his better
acts. It's his own Citizen Kane.
You're not getting me back, Frank. All right. I'm turning even further away.
But you love that classic film.
I love Gary Oldman in this film. I think he's an excellent villain that was underutilized. I think he's.
Bad villain.
Bad villain?
Overutilized. Yeah, because he's useless.
I think that's kind of funny that he's no good, but I wish.
Yeah, but
I was like, Bruce Willis is going to destroy this man. Yeah. I was looking forward to that so much.
Yeah.
They're meeting up anything. And him doing an effete like, oh, my nemesis. No, don't know what
I
he's
I don't
doing.
Know how to use this gun.
Yeah, and then Bruce Willis just
bitch slaps West.
Him. I would have been so into it. And no, it's just him blowing up. It's so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I think it's so weak. And then I was like, all right, well, the movie's almost done. And then they call him, they call Bruce Willis and they're like, you still need to find the fifth element, fucko. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It has like, it has two storylines that they have to resolve and it's not timed out very well. Mm. Also, who's the president and what's he doing?
Well,
nothing?
That's Tim Tiny Lister. He was a WWE wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the guy in The Dark Knight.
Yes, we know.
Where he's on the boat and he's the one who gets the trigger device.
You
off
don't want to do the thing.
Yeah.
You don't have the courage
it's
to.
It's so good. He's so good in that. So he's I saw great. Him in this and I was like, oh, okay, I like that
he's
guy.
He's bad in this.
Yeah, he's not great.
It's also useless writing. Like, why is the president there just sitting around doing nothing?
Yeah.
But again,
well, imagine if we had presidents like that. That would be awful.
We say this time and time again. If you haven't bought in from the start, you never will.
But with
the cartoonishness of this entire thing, with the sci-fi elements, with sci-fi, the rules are what you deem them to be, right? You can make your own sci-fi world. You don't have to follow the trajectory of some other sci-fi film.
But he does. It follows the trajectory of all of them.
In a derivative way, I agree.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean about the rules and the president doesn't need to do anything.
He's done a blender of sci-fi here. Like, he's picking and choosing
what
he wants.
It's E.T., but it's also Star Wars, but it's also kind of a little bit.
It's misguided. The worst thing about this film is Luc Besson.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, I think he makes a couple of pretty wild swings that I'm like.
So what of his then do you like?
One cut. There's a cut that I loved. Ian Holm has just hit Bruce Willis in the head.
Yep.
And he like steps away and it cuts. It's a match cut. Boom, he's in the hallway. And it looks like Ian Holm transport, like teleports.
I know. I remember the
incredible cut. Hmm. I was like, wow, that was so cool. And started, and I hadn't seen much like that before. And I was like, that's great. That's kind of it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I did love. No. There's a joke bit. I love when Bruce Willis pushed the grand piano with one hand. He's really strong.
I can't remember.
Do you know how heavy they are?
I truly don't remember.
I can't.
It's when Mila Jovovich is stuck in the ceiling after the opera scene.
Oh. Yeah.
It's on wheels.
Vaguely.
It's
Bruce Willis.
Yay.
I'm turning
turn
my
away
back
from
to
me.
You.
Turn away from me.
You are.
Fuck, this is how this feels.
Hey,
it's so cold.
What about Lee Evans? Why is he in it?
Lee Evans.
Kind of great that Lee Evans is in it.
I kind of wish.
But again, it's a comedy, right?
It is.
Because he's a comedy guy. This is my confusion.
It's a camp film. Like.
If Luke did write this solely, I just don't think he's a comedy writer. I think it's as simple as that. I think you've got actors that can pull off comedy. They're going upstream without a paddle with this script, trying to find the comedy in this.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
It's not there. Chris Tucker's funny. Bruce Willis with Chris Tucker, not funny when he's like doing the one-word answers. It's not dry enough to be funny.
It's not snappy enough either.
No. Terrible timing.
Yeah.
I like.
We could have done this better.
The weird Frenchness that Luc Besson brings to this. Well,
I have a question on this after.
The McDonald's shit. Like stuff like that where the cops are getting McDonald's and then when they chase down Bruce Willis and they run into a McDonald's truck and it's Big Macs everywhere. And he's like, oh, you Americans and your flying cars and your Big Macs. Like this is how he sees things. And there's a little bit of me that's like, that's funny. It's stupid, but it's funny. Like, and I like that if he's the director, and I tend to credit directors as like the main architects of their films, he makes some weird inclusive choices like the baby elephant, like the deaf grown-up movie star, baby, whatever his name is. The opera scene, Maiwen dancing, and then when she gets shot And Bruce Willis is like, where are the stones? And literally 2 seconds before she said it, I was like, oh my God, they're inside her. And she went, they're inside
me. It's in my tummy.
And I was like, I like that he clearly didn't tell Bruce Willis what he was going to see
She's
in the
doing
opera
this.
Scene.
She's doing this. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. No. That's
he's patting his head and rubbing his tummy.
Very coordinated.
Yeah.
Very good.
Bruce Willis's face every time they cut to shots of him watching that opera, you can tell they were like, just react the way you would to what you're going to see. And the look on his face is, what the fuck am I watching? That- like, he's so befuddled by that.
That's actually a trademark of Luc Besson is he doesn't show you like character designs or costumes or tests. You rock up to set, you like action. For example, Mila Jovovich falling in the car, Bruce Willis hadn't seen her in costume.
Yeah. See, so I kind of like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at least that's interesting.
It's how it feels.
But he shouldn't be with young girls. I just can't get past
Okay, we've covered this. We're not going back on it.
Okay, sorry.
I just Marcus, what is your defense of Luc Besson?
I don't think he needs to defend.
I mean his personal life.
That's not funny.
I know. I'm sorry.
It was pretty funny.
I apologize.
That was pretty funny.
Have you seen Asterix? Any of the Asterix?
No, I've tried. They're not. They're not.
Because they're French films and they are insane.
Yeah.
So I think if I'd had the lens of, because I watched that in 10 years ago in Indonesia and I was like, where am I? What's my life? And then if I had that lens coming into this thinking it was going to be reminiscent of that French style, I would have been like, okay, maybe more into it.
Here's my hot take. I think if this was made today and you gave this as if this was a Terry Gilliam film, it would work.
Yeah, well, it feels like it wants to be 12
it's,
Monkeys.
It's sub-Gilliam, kind of, right?
Although 12 Monkeys is earlier. No, 12 Monkeys is earlier than this. No, maybe it's not.
Yeah, I think it is.
No, probably.
97 is this. It could even almost be the same year. Shit, I should know that. But regardless, I know what you're saying. Or Brazil, sort of like it's got that it wants to have a commentary on something. But I think he's a little more, dare I say, than Terry Gilliam, like unhinged, even though Terry Gilliam is like the
12 Monkeys. Sorry, 95 was 12 Monkeys.
All right, so it's a couple years earlier.
Yeah.
So yeah, it feels like it's in, and that's what the Bruce Willis I like, where you say he's so watchable. I don't disagree. When he's on screen in this, I'm like, I'm engaged. It's Bruce Willis. You know, it's Bruce Willis before.
He does the beaten down cop, the hard on his luck cab driver, whatever, really, really well.
Yeah.
You're going to give a guy a singlet and some sweat stains and a weird sort of subplot romance in an action film, give it to Bruce Willis.
He's the perfect working class action hero. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's my least favorite part of The Sixth Sense. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's controversial.
You know, I've still not seen it.
I just don't.
Really? You really enjoy that movie? I can't think of any obstacles to you enjoying it.
It's not even scary. But the thing is,
you would find The Sixth Sense very scary. Certain moments of it very scary.
Oh,
it's a good movie.
I watched back on the film we're talking
I
about.
I apologize.
Fucking hell.
But Frank was looking at us is The Sixth Sense a horror movie?
I thought it was sad.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all those things.
It's a bit PP driven.
Okay.
Yep. Tom, where do you think my favorite Bruce Willis performance is?
That's a good question.
Die Hard 4?
Is it one of the Die Hards?
No.
And it's not Pulp Fiction?
No.
Okay, because he's very good in Pulp
Fiction. I think he's very good in Pulp Fiction. Same thing though, like down on his luck boxer.
Look Who's Talking. Sure.
I love him in Sin City. I really like him in that film for the same reason, right? Cool. And he does the romance subplot in there very well as well. Like it's kind of similar in a weird way.
The less he does in Sin City, the more compelling it is.
Yeah.
Because of the way that film is shot, because of the hyper-stylized, and it's they're doing the same thing with Clive Owen.
Yeah.
So that Mickey Rourke in the middle can be the fucking madman.
Yeah.
Who's like, I'm going to go for a swing with this.
Yeah.
But the guys either side of
Mickey
him are
Rourke
doing
did
the
that.
Really stoic. Yeah, weirdly, it's if you can imagine. Mickey Rourke is, that movie's so good. I have to rewatch
it. Oh, we do. I think we should do it on the pod. It's Frank, you've seen it, right?
Several times.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know. I was less interested. I knew you'd seen it.
I didn't say I liked it.
My point is, what was my point? We're talking about
Bruce Willis. And you said you love him because you love the way he plays hardened, gruff guys down on their luck.
Yeah.
The archetype of the dude who's
and it works.
One day from retirement or he's just about to lose the points on his license as the driver. and a woman falls into his life and he just gets that glimmer back in his
eyes. Which he literally says prior to that, like, you know, I haven't found the perfect girl yet. He's got this weird, like, stylized cigarette in his mouth which has, like, a longer butt.
It's than all it does. Filter less serious. Yeah, they're all trying to quit, right?
Kind of funny.
That's a nice world touch.
And he's talking about,
I didn't get
you know,
that. That's funny. I truly didn't get that.
Look at that pancake. That
I thought
so
it was
funny.
A future cigarette. I just didn't get it.
You didn't see it?
Sorry? The cigarette. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, future cigarette.
Because there's like three mentions you're trying to quit. Yeah. You get four cigarettes a day.
I didn't get it.
I'm sorry. You've never seen a cigarette before, you loser?
Anyway, he's saying he's waiting for the perfect girl and then he finds the, quite literally, the perfect by design girl. As
yeah, except she can't speak the language.
Yeah.
And he kisses her when she's asleep.
I agree. She's meant to be this perfect weapon, perfect human. We only get one fight scene out of her, which unfortunately is broken up with a weird slapstick slapping of the creatures as well.
Yeah. And then when she pulls her fist back and hits the guy behind her. Yeah. Hey, guess what? Kind of liked it.
Okay.
I'm like, because it's got the music as well, which helps.
But Tom, everything I've heard you say today is that you only bought into this film at its silliest moments.
Yeah.
Which were, except for Chris Tucker, which someone would argue.
Yeah.
I think if that performance is better or out of the film, mm-hmm. I do like this movie quite a bit more. He's actually quite like harmful.
Holy
he causes
shit.
A he causes me a problem in this film. I don't like when he's on screen. I don't think his obnoxiousness translates to anything.
I mean, he's the entire second act, really.
Most of it, yeah, or a lot. He's a big part of it. The second he started doing the walking down the hallway and the like
the
snap
TV.
Edit. Yep. Yes. And he's like talking about his persona and who he is and how he's going to introduce Corbin Dallas and all this stuff. I was like, well, this immediately isn't working for me. So I'm in trouble. And
you are.
Almost nothing he did afterwards. But I did like him accidentally shooting the Blorg.
Did you?
And
like-
I liked when Bruce Willis like seesaw catapulted a Blorg up into the roof. And then he's like, and trying to hit
push
its head.
Push
I'm
it
like,
down.
That just looks too funny to not be funny. It looks ridiculous.
What about the scene at the end where he's like, I haven't gotten a fire. And then, because he's kind of vulnerable at that point. How'd you feel?
I didn't take any of his registers as anything more than shrill. Like
my least favorite part of the film is the final bit, the conclusion with
the force elements and
stones.
And
I hate it.
The big beam in the sky might have been one of the first big beams in the sky.
To be honest,
it's impressive.
I don't know if that's the first big beam in the sky. I mean,
97.
In 97, first big beam going up into the.
But
no
now,
one had thought
now, Tom, now you Tom, see it three times a year.
Name another one.
Yeah, name another one.
Isn't there a
Otherwise
big beam
you're wrong.
In Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Like, literally, there's a beam. Like,
well, that Tom, sorry, that Tom, big was music. That a question?
Name another one.
Was that a question or a statement?
Was that?
Yeah.
Do you know what bit I didn't like is when Mila Jovovich says she hasn't got to V yet.
Mm.
He's trying to teach her a V word, right?
He's like, there's a great V word in there. Yeah. I love it. Come back when you find it.
And then she goes and learns and he goes, wait, they're waking up or at the end or what? I don't know when. I was losing interest at this point. But he goes through V words with her. He's looking at her. He's like, you know, valiant, vulnerable, very beautiful.
Mm.
It's like you couldn't think of a third V word.
Because he's screaming in his head, don't say vagina. Like, just please say anything but.
Which
and
was,
I'm like,
that was
it,
in
man.
The script. That was in the script, vagina.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I can't. Bruce Willis, my character wouldn't say that.
That checks out. He's real. Yeah.
He's a real stand-up guy.
Yeah, that's a chivalrous man. I told Kath when she's like, how was Fifth Element? We went for a walk after I watched it. I was like, there's a scene where Mila Jovovich cries watching war footage for 30 seconds and then it ends with her being like, why is humanity so bad to each other? And I was just like, yeah, no, I can't with this.
She doesn't sound like a little French girl.
She sounds like Bjork. This is canon.
She kind of does.
Marcus, this is a weapon on a pirate ship. All right?
Marcus.
It's canon.
He's,
thank you, Frank.
I'm turning my back. Do you want to go MVP?
MVP.
We Butler's Pantry MVP because I got a little bit. That was well played.
That sounded really nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we did.
I wasn't paying
it's
attention.
It's probably good we didn't get Frank to do the third part.
Yeah, I can't get that high. I need Chris Tucker.
Oh, pantry it up. Go off you go.
Real quick, which is basically just
real
that.
Quick. Don't preface it with real
you
quick.
You should never say real quick.
That's our Tom.
Sci-fi movies
yep.
can be played very straight and very fun and adventurous. Obviously, Star Wars, like spacefaring.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They can be very camp, like this movie.
Wait, you're saying Star Wars is not camp?
I think it's not that, it's not compared with mid-range camp. I think it's I think it was taken largely at face value at the time, and it's the age with it. Whereas I think this movie came out and people were like, oh, we're intense here. Like, that's what's happening. But then
camping.
Oh no, see, R2-D2, I'm lost. It's a big camp.
You think he sounds camp. That's not what that means.
I think the whole thing's a bit campy.
I think C-3PO is the most, though, right? Sure. And even that's easy example. Where it feels like it took stand-up comedians to the 80s to be like, so that droid's gay, right? Like, that feels like that
took a while. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway. Camp.
It's weird that he's the only gay character in the whole Star Wars universe.
That's not true.
There's,
yeah, Darth Maul. They just never bring it up.
He's Mauling
double-sided lightsaber. What do you think that's for?
What is this? Requiem for a Dream?
Continue.
Oh, is this the pantry?
Side to side.
Back in the pantry.
Oh my they can gosh. Be very thrilling and fun and adventurous like Star Wars. They can be very camp like this movie. They can be very gnarly like Event Horizon, which you and I watched together, Marcus.
Gnarly. Cool.
I really think my brand, my favorite, is gnarly typically, but I also think they can all kind of be both. My favorite version of this kind of movie is like something like Starship Troopers or something like Alien Resurrection, which are different films, but they have their own very excessive qualities to them, you know?
They're different films? Oh my gosh, I thought they were the same film.
No, they are different films. I checked it out.
Thank you.
I looked it up. They're not part of the singularity. So we've got and a movie that I shouldn't use quantum terms around Frank. I
love Ant-Man.
Think that Jean-Paul Jeunet, is it Jean-Paul Jeunet? Whatever, the guy who directed Alien Resurrection. You've seen Alien Resurrection.
Is that the new one?
Yes.
No, that's Alien Romulus.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
Oh, yes. And then Resurrection, that movie's fucked up, right?
Yeah, truly.
It's silly.
Truly.
But I kind of think that's the sort of version I prefer, where it's a little grosser, it's a little bit more... maybe grotty, you know, it gets, and I think if this movie were a little grottier.
Yeah, because.
Or a lot funnier.
You're talking now about like more industrial sci-fi, like the metals and everything like that. I mean, this is all,
but also
it is oversaturated with color and popping.
But it could be
grotty. It's cartoonish.
This movie, you expressed surprise that it was PG. Give me the R-rated version of this movie. I think it's way better. I think it's a much better film if they just go, fuck it.
You really want to see Chris Tucker go down and they go with his hair?
Yes.
You want to see that.
Just curious
the
mechanics.
I don't disagree with you, but it's an entirely different film.
Agreed, but a film I'd prefer better. And I think a film that has much more leeway and leverage to just do whatever the fuck it wants in a way that I
wish The Godfather was a musical. You know, like that's kind of the same.
You're right. Godfather really needs improvement is the thing. And I think most people listening to this will go, Marcus did just compare The Fifth Element to The Godfather and that's fine with us.
I think Lin-Manuel's been working on one, hasn't he?
Don't twist my words, you mother.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. I gotta get out because my head is getting sweaty.
I regret saying
before she gets with her husband and has a bedding.
Eliza.
No, I've invited this behavior I'm so sorry to the listener.
All good. The Butler's Pantry is essentially just saying that these movies were pretty prevalent throughout the 90s, like these ultra either graphic or very excessive bombastic
stylized
sci-fi films. Very stylized. And I don't think this is my favorite type of it. I think like just talking with you guys about it, I've said like 10 things that I'm like, this made me laugh. This made me smile. And I'm like, oh, I liked this more than I thought I did. I think I am liking
it. I also think this is ridiculous. You've just done a pantry, which is you giving yourself 5 minutes to say, I didn't like it, which but is now, what the whole-
And then I've finished it with, but I actually kind of like, I think
but,
I liked it.
But so no, but that. The Butler's Pantry is meant to be about the back of house.
Well, the Butler's Pantry, okay, if you want to know the comparison between the trend of what was going on with
I would have to, let's talk
Paul
about-
Paul Verhoeven, like direct Starship Troopers, a European guy making this Americanized genre, just the same way that we've got here with Luc Besson.
And a real satirical
Jean-Paul
message,
Jeunet
right?
With Alien. Yeah, and I mean, I think this film's satirical in its way. It's because it feels like he's cast almost entirely American actors. He's like, this is me basically making fun of America.
But it's lacking the cleverness that I think you're looking for.
I would either want it to be cleverer or grosser. I'm okay with either. And the French are great at gross. And they think they're good at clever.
You heard it first.
The Substance is a great contemporary example of that is a movie that is not that smart and it's so fucking gross and it's one of my favorite movies of last year. Mm. And it's French. It's what they do. They're funny.
Frank, he opened the episode with The Butler's Pantry, let's be fair.
That's true. Did and I? That was great.
Yeah.
Well, should we move on to MVP?
MVP.
Ian Holm.
Ooh.
Ooh, Chris Tucker. No, Ian Holm.
Okay.
I just love him. I love to see him.
Yeah.
And you believe him and you want him to win. You want him to succeed.
Yeah. I get that. I'm giving it to Miller.
I think I am too.
I think that this film kind of doesn't work without her. I mean, for obvious points, but I think that she commits to the concept enough and she's let down by an undercooked story. And just poor writing choices overall.
Yeah, she could be way more annoying. In fact, she's not at all. I find her really endearing, and that's an easy role to kind of be like, oh, this kind of.
It could have easily been bad. I agree.
Messiah character, but it's so you can't communicate with them and they keep doing stuff they don't understand.
Yep.
It's like having a baby.
I think my son is the Messiah.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty sure that's where you're going for there.
That's good. All right, is anyone going to throw anything in?
Yeah, I'll go up to 5.9.
Whoa! Wait.
Through in the
past. Yeah! What was your original score?
5. I'm going up.
That's like, a whole point. Oh my God!
Yeah, that's why we did this.
I'm panicking. Have you ever done that before?
I don't know if I've ever gone quite that far.
He's not gone from dislike to like before.
He's never listened to us ever.
No,
I've never gone from dislike to like. You're right. And I do actually think I have to kind of go like.
This is monumental.
Yeah, this is kind of like a funnish movie. Flick might not maim me. No, she might not murder me.
She's gonna.
She's gonna maim me now, though. She'll let me live, but it won't be a happy life.
She's gonna.
Thanks for listening. Can I throw down to a 5.5? I was 5.6 and now I just still feel even more on the fence.
Yeah,
like this, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Marcus, any change?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm going to sit.
No. I think some very valid points about the way in which this film, and a lot of the time, embraces itself and its silliness in a way that's fun. It's hard not to find it fun.
It has a huge cult following.
Yes. It's easy not to find it fun.
A huge anti-cult following as well.
No, of course. It's crazy. So I think it's a good film for this exact forum.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Through in the Thanks for listening to Throw in the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name is Tom.
And that was The Fifth Element.
It was love.
Next week, we're doing The Sixth Element.
What's that?
Lust. The Sikhs?
Sikh?
As in like Indian religion, the Sikhs element?
Why are you yelling at me?
Why did you say it?
Funny! Bye.